it.
Okay. Well, I'm very excited to be the first guest. I'm Patty Maloney. I'm running for Michigan State Rep here in Wyoming, Michigan. And we're having a pretty exciting campaign, and I'm really excited to talk to you guys about it. So I hope you got some good questions for me.
Yeah, we have plenty. Absolutely. Hold on. I'm just going through. So I got your bio right here, Patty. And it says you're into necromancy. Is that right?
Oh, boy. I'm not sure whose bio you got there, but...
Wait. No, I'm sorry. That's a D&D character page. It looks like you're into kickboxing.
I do. I go to CKO kickboxing. It's not like real fighting, but you get to do a lot of punching and kicking, and it's like the best exercise I've ever... I mean, I love to lift, but if you want to burn calories and be in great shape, this is the class. So, yeah, I enjoy that a lot. It's good stress relief. You want to punch some stuff and get some anger out. Kickboxing is it.
So are you going to use some of that against what? You're running against Tommy Brand, is that right?
Yeah. Well, actually, this, as far as I know, there are two Republicans. Tommy Brand's the incumbent. There's two Republicans running that I know of, two Democrats, and me that I know have filed with the state last I've checked and heard. So I think it's going to be a pretty competitive race.
And Tommy Brand is the incumbent, though, now? Or
Yes.
All right. Uh-huh. But he's only been in office for 2 years now. Is that right?
Yep, 2 years. 2016, he's only been in office for 2 years.
Okay.
Well, I think he's run before, but I can't remember now, so.
All right. And, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in Michigan, as you know, around the entire country. Obviously, I saw that you have a couple of ballot initiatives regarding either legalization of pot or regulating it. Do you want to touch on any of that?
Well, there are... I think there's only one initiative that's probably going to happen that has the signatures, and that's regulate marijuana like alcohol. So I actually liked the other proposal better because there weren't taxes and things associated with it. But,
right, sure.
You know, I know everyone in Michigan wants to see marijuana legal. So. You know, I'm all for whatever the best route of making that happen is. So I'm pretty sure that that's an initiative that is going to be on the ballot. And
do you have any idea if your opponents are supporting that initiative or where?
I'm sure that the Democrats are. I don't know the stance from the Republicans. I mean, I'm not sure, but I'm honestly, because they don't have a lot of information on their site at this point. The one candidate, I'm sure the Democrats are going to support marijuana legalization. I don't know as far as my Republican opponents.
Gotcha. Also on your bio here, it says that you are deeply concerned with the cost of driving in Michigan.
Well, that is something I'm concerned about because... Michigan, it has some of the worst roads in the country, and I've been doing quite a bit of reading, research, talking to people about this, because this particular issue, our terrible roads, is one of the biggest things voters are talking about, things they care about. So Michigan's been in preservation mode a long time. They do the surface repairs. But what's going on underneath isn't being fixed. We don't have the money for it. So all they're doing is fixing the surface, which you're just coming back and fixing it again the next year. So what I understand, Michigan's ranked dead last when it comes to in the country when it comes to road and bridge investment. That's what I hear from the DOT.
That's not what I have here in my data, but okay.
Well, that is what I'm hearing from them, and I'm still researching where the problems are with funding, but I do know that funding is the biggest issue, and how we fund our roads.
Well, that's kind of where what some of my questions would be is in terms of how they're being funded. In the report that I was reading, overall, Michigan was ranked 31, although it was ranked 41 for quality of roads. And it looks like they're spending upwards of $200,000 per mile just in maintenance.
Yes, because the way they're going about things, and because we don't have the money, because our roads are so bad, we don't have the money to do anything but keep the critical repairs going and not actually make our roads better so they're going to last longer, so we're not fixing the same potholes we fixed last year. So, you know, some of it is because of the way our roads are funded. We get funding from the roads from our gas taxes, which Michigan actually has the sixth highest gas tax in the country.
Okay.
And auto registration. So other states get funding from sales tax. So most of our funding is just coming from gas tax and auto registration, and we're not coming up with enough to make headway and make actual substantial changes. I mean, we're just going to keep filling the same potholes every year and never get anywhere. So,
I mean, this is clearly an issue in Michigan. I just saw a recent survey, or relatively recent survey, where something like 89% of people in Michigan rank as infrastructure funding and fixing as one of their major issues. So
it is, which is why I'm really trying to research this particular issue, because this is the one when I talk to voters that they tell me about. But it's not just our roads are bad. We have the highest auto insurance in the country. We have the sixth highest gas tax. Everything about driving in Michigan stinks. So, you know, I'm going to try to work on all three of those issues, because those are the issues that voters are concerned about.
I was wondering if part of that infrastructure thing also had to do with the Flint water crisis.
Don't think they're related, because they're two separate funding.
Right, the funding would be separate, but in a survey, when 89% of the people say infrastructure is a problem, I'm wondering if that's a combination of highways and water and everything, or if you think it's mainly just roads.
I think it's mostly roads they're talking about. Yeah. You're not driving here in Michigan. The roads are terrible. It's not just the back roads. It's all the roads. And we live in a state that gets a lot of snow, peninsula area.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
Our roads are going to be harder to maintain than some other states, but this is the one when I'm talking to voters that comes up the most. It's not the only thing I care about, but this is the one that I think we need to be focused on, because honestly, if we don't start changing how we build our roads, we're going to keep having this problem. If we don't make a change to how we're going about things, you can't just keep covering over the potholes.
Sure,
you have to make and some of the things. Well, like I said, I'm still researching things that I would like to change as far as not just funding but procedure. I'm talking to some other people from other states on how they run their DOT compared to ours.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. I mean, do you think it's strictly a funding issue, or is there other stuff at work as well?
I think it is definitely a funding issue. You know, you can't fix roads without the money.
Right.
It's almost like we're stuck in this way of doing things because we can't get the funds to do more than keep up with the maintenance. But, you know, some of the things we could do is the way when construction workers are laying a new road or fixing a road, you know, them having some reason to do better than just enough
absolutely.
Would make a difference. So those are some of the things I'm looking at. But first, I really want to research how we're funding things, because other states use their sales tax to fund the roads, but our sales tax goes towards our education and our schools. So I'm researching our taxes for our schools and our roads, because they're kind of intertwined.
Okay. Makes sense to me.
Hey, Patty.
I might.
You there?
Yes. Yes.
It's trying to talk over each other. I wanted to take a different direction for just a second, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And find out how, what got you interested in running? What's your kind of your motivating cause? And how does that work in with libertarianism?
Well, I was helping with our governor's campaign. And, you know, I was reaching a lot of people, talking about it a lot. And I, you know, a lot of people were getting excited. And that was part of what, you know, I ran for office one time before in 2010. But when I ran, it was more just to support the party and as an educational campaign. But yeah, there are some issues that I really care about. And when I looked at my opponents, not a single one of them were campaigning on the family issues that I care about. You know, I looked at what they've done since they were in legislature, and I think I can do a better job. I have business experience. I started my business with a $40 computer. I tell this story a lot, but I didn't have a lot. $40 computer, $10 dial-up, worked hard. And one of the things I believe in is hard work. And so I think my experience of, you know, having, starting with not much of anything, but also having a successful business, you know, I've been a landlord. I have experience with issues that are relevant to this district. But, you know, some of the things that motivate me are family issues. For example, I've been talking to a lot of voters about a shared parenting bill here in Michigan, which is starting to, people are starting to talk about this all over. I support shared parenting, meaning when a couple gets divorced, the split is 50-50, mom, dad. It eliminates all the custody battles unless there's some compelling reason why the one of the parents shouldn't have 50-50 custody, or the parents just don't want to do this for some reason. It shouldn't be something parents are battling over. What I see happening is one parent gets picked over another, and that's not the way it should be. Kids should have both their mom and their dad. They shouldn't have their dad part-time and the mom part-time. Sure. No, they should have. Yeah. And also, you know, I've actually gone out and I've had feedback both from moms and dads on both sides of this issue. I had a lady tell me that her ex-husband, you know, had some issues with, I think, with substance abuse or something, but he did pay child support for 8 years. They never helped her get child support. Here she is paying all her bills. Nobody helps her. Well, her ex-husband, you know, after 8 years, he's finally cleaned up his act. He's finally doing well. And they want to throw him in jail. And she's like, how is that helping me? They weren't.
Right.
They didn't care. He owes $15,000. Now they want to throw him in jail, or $10,000. I can't remember. And I had another dad tell me, well, they were so slow at getting this child support set up that by the time they got caught up to him, he was eight months in the rears, and they want to collect all this money or throw him in jail.
Right.
And, you know, I've had other dads tell me that they're paying child support on a kid they don't get to see. And those sort of things aren't the way family court should be. So that's some things I care about personally, and some other family.
When you say a 50-50 custody split, is that strictly legal or also in terms of visitation?
Yeah, and the bill, I have some issues with how they have it set up, but I like the direction that they're going with it. I like the idea of it. I think it would eliminate, because you got to keep in mind, everybody involved in family court is making money off of your children. They don't want your divorce settled. They want it to take as long as possible. You know, child support, if we got eliminated some of these issues, there would be a lot less need for family court. I guess what I'm saying is if the baseline was 50-50, most of the families that get divorced don't have abuse situations, don't have crazy stuff going on. A 50-50 should work. So I think one of the things that I probably that I plan to talk about coming forward, which I is eliminating friend of the court. Now, I don't know if they have friend of the court in every state or if they call it something different, but friend of the court, it's something they have in Michigan, and I will tell you, nobody here thinks they're a friend. They enforce your child support, and I've heard a lot of parents tell me that they'd rather deal with their ex-wife or their ex-husband than have to deal with friend of the court.
I believe that's called something else where I'm at, but probably about the same thing.
Yes, and so, you know, what I'd like to see is parents settling divorces without so much need for the court trying to decide it for them. That parents, if it's 50-50 presumed when you get a divorce, and people don't think, they aren't using their kids to leverage and stuff, it would be better. But that's just one issue that I care about, but I've heard a lot of voters give me their thoughts on that. So,
sure.
And then the other thing I've been talking to a lot of voters about is mom issues, which, you know, some of these might be kind of not super important issues like the economy, but you know, there's things that go on in Michigan where the government's telling you how to raise your kids. We have something called a Safe Sleep Act, which is kind of benign, but it is just kind of an example of how government dictates how parents do things.
Sure.
Governor Snyder last year signed a bill saying that every parent. I think it was 2017, that every parent has to be educated at birth on how their baby should sleep, which is on your back, in a crib, in a play plan, or in a bassinet.
And of course, then how do you go about enforcing something like that?
It's not a law. It's just something that they teach people. I have an issue with it because I run a mom site, and I know a lot about baby sleep, and when you only teach parents one way to do things, you cause issues because moms that breastfeed, and whether they do or don't breastfeed, moms fall asleep. They don't do it on purpose, but 70% of the kids that 70% of the kids that died from sleep, you know, co-sleeping, they had a crib in their bed. I mean, I say this wrong every time. They had a crib in their house. So
right.
It's like they didn't know baby needed sleep in a crib. I don't believe government should be teaching parents telling parents how their babies should sleep.
Right.
We also have another issue that I've talked about with there's a lot of mom issues that you might not realize are important. When I was knocking on doors, you know, I was only talking to them about the WIC program and the sleep, safe sleep, and homeschooled parental choice on education, and more than one mom asked me how I felt about vaccinations, and the funny thing is, everybody, this is a taboo topic. Everybody acts like the only people that are against vaccinations are the wacko cuckoos, and I will tell you, I've been knocking on doors, and this is the one they bring up to me. Moms want to be able to decide what goes into their kid's body.
Yeah.
So it's an important issue. The other thing, I mean, I honestly,
well, that's typically mandated through the schools, right?
Well, I think that's the concern. They don't want to be forced to give their kids vaccinations that they don't agree with.
Right. Of course. But I mean, typically that'll be related to a school kind of thing where your kid's not allowed to attend public school unless he or she's had 94 vaccinations.
Right. And the thing is, I'm just telling you, it's something that I didn't realize was that I didn't realize how common the concern was until I started having moms that I didn't even ask them. And they said, well, how do you feel about vaccinations? Another thing I've been talking to voters about here in Michigan, Michigan has, I would say, the best homeschool laws in the country, or if not, we're one of the few states that have pretty much no regulations. You don't have to register with the state. You don't have to register with your school district. You don't have to fill out an education plan and have it approved. There's a lot of things that you have to do in other states to homeschool that you don't have to do here in Michigan.
For sure.
And it's important to me that we keep it that way. One of the things that's going on here, okay, we have the Blaine Amendment, which they have in a lot of states, that says you can't use public school funds for private education.
Okay.
Well, we've kind of gotten creative because some of Michigan's Supreme Court rulings regarding the Blaine Amendment. I don't have it written down with me, but something about the second line in it is unconstitutional. And the way we're kind of getting around it, there's homeschool public school partnerships going on, and they're offering non-essential courses like Spanish or math Spanish or music or art, you know, not
through the school, even though the students being homeschooled.
So the homeschooled students are getting to take these courses through the public schools. The public schools are getting to count them as a student and get funds. So for a lot of homeschool parents, this is a good thing because now they can get, like, say their child wants a foreign language, they have credited foreign language courses through the school.
Sure.
Well, the problem that homeschoolers are concerned about and that I'm concerned about is that right now there's no regulations as far as you don't have to register for the state, but anytime a homeschooled student signs up through their school district, they're providing their name, their address, all their information. The state is being able to see how their kids are doing, which courses homeschoolers are taking. You know, they're learning all these things about homeschoolers that they weren't able to learn before. They've wanted to know, you know, how many homeschoolers we have and you know, statistics on us, and they didn't have a way. And now they're getting around it because homeschoolers are voluntarily giving their information to these school districts and these partnerships. Well, the concern I have and other homeschoolers have is the more money that the schools are getting from these partnerships, the more interest they're going to have in regulating how that money's spent. So homeschooling used to be something that was like some bizarre thing, but it's actually a more growing and growing.
Absolutely.
So the bigger homeschooling gets, the bigger these homeschool partnerships get, the bigger the integration between homeschool and public school gets, the muddier the lines might get. And so I would like to see a homeschool bill of rights where
Michigan that's kind
of
you don't have to. That's a different way than I thought you were going with this, but okay.
Yeah, I want to make sure homeschooling is always legal in Michigan and that you never have to register for the state or have the state tell you how to educate your kids, because that's the whole point of homeschooling.
Now, I'm curious, though, for homeschooling, it's not like parents at home are getting funding specifically from the state to do the homeschooling, are they?
I'm still researching how some of these programs work, because I think that they may be able to use the school gets funds, but I think they may be able to use these funds for like music classes.
In terms of like books or supplies and things like that, like, you know, a homeschooling parent can't.
Non-essential stuff. These are for non-essential courses. Yeah.
Okay.
But no, they're not paying for their school. They're homeschooled, but they are, you know, one of my friends that homeschools, we were talking about how, okay, let's just use music, for example. Well, let's say most of the homeschoolers were paying for music lessons before, but now all the homeschoolers are getting this through the school.
Right.
Well,
right.
Of course, they're going to end up paying more for music lessons because all the music instructors know they can get it through the school. You know how it's just everything, supply and demand. When the school's going to pay for it, it's going to cost more to get it privately. I'm not saying how I'm wording myself the best way, but if these parents could go know that if the music instructors know that they can set up a course, they're going to match their prices with how the I'm not wording this well. So.
It's all good. No, but I mean, my question, though, is, even if you're homeschooling kids, I'm sure the families are somehow still contributing to the public school system, even though the kids aren't using it.
They are. They're paying their property tax. They're paying their sales tax.
Right, right.
And I think that that's why homeschoolers like this. And it can
it does give them some benefits in being able to use some of the resources available.
Absolutely. The concern is just the more that I want to make sure that we lock some rights in for homeschoolers before all of a sudden we've got all this data on homeschoolers and we want to regulate it.
Right, right. I mean, I've seen similar proposals that are usually more geared toward, like, the funding follows the student. So whether or not they do homeschooling or whether or not they go to a private school or a public school, if, you know, the student is supposed to have $10,000 allocated to them, then they get $10,000 to use at a private school, or $10,000 can be used for homeschooling, as opposed to all the money goes to the public school and... you don't go to public school.
It's not exactly like that, but
right.
It's the concern. The other concern I have is that the more homeschooled kids are going to certain school districts, I see other like public schools maybe getting frustrated because this school is getting all these homeschool people and they're getting extra funds and we're not. And
right.
You know, just all kinds of different potential issues that could pop up from this. Plus the fact that this partnership hasn't been brought up in, you know, I mentioned the Supreme Court. Well, we have a Blaine Amendment. What happens when somebody wants to challenge this and say, this is not legal? And so there's just a lot of things to think about.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So I didn't get back to some of the other things that I'm trying to talk to people about. So I hope that's okay.
Well, let's get on to something more fun, right?
Okay, we can do fun.
You're on to a whole keto diet thing. What did you have for Mother's Day?
That's a good question. Oh, let's see. I had my dad over here for Mother's Day. He was visiting from Florida, so I forced him to eat healthy for the day. We made some burgers and some kebabs, you know, with veggies on the grill.
Yeah, sure.
And I made him a cucumber salad. And so I made him these burgers, and I have these keto wraps. They're not actually keto wraps. They're just low carb wraps. But instead of having bread, we had them on wraps. And
okay.
He asked me, do you got any donuts? And I'm like, no. And then it was later, do you have any pretzels? No. So, you know, the thing is, though, when you have diabetes and take insulin, you can't.
You always have to watch your sugar intake.
You can't just stop eating sugar because you're getting insulin to correct it. So, you know, I got him some. He did have some carbs. I'm pretty fairly educated on diabetes, so he didn't get to eat carb free. But I was pretty selective about the carbs I let him eat. So,
going back 2 seconds ago, this is like a pet peeve of mine. When you make a cucumber salad, do you actually scoop out all the seeds or do you throw it all
right
together?
No, I don't follow any of your cooking rules, Jeff. I do things my own way, so, and I'm lazy.
Leave all the seeds in, just slice.
What's wrong with seeds?
I know, you can have them or not.
I'm not going to that extra effort now.
It takes 3 seconds to scoop out the seeds with a spoon, just saying.
If I was making like some kind of cucumber boat or something, I might do that. But otherwise, no, I'm pretty lazy with my cooking, which is why I don't follow recipes for the most part. I mean, the only thing I do recipes for is like baking because.
Oh, yeah.
And I wouldn't do that except for no. Hello, entrepreneurs, make me some keto bread and some keto cookie. I don't need cookies, but keto something that I can buy at the store. It's really popular. I can't figure out why we don't have this in the store. If I had the time, the energy, the money, I would start me a keto restaurant here in Grand Rapids, and I'm pretty sure it'd be popular because you know, sometimes I just go to McDonald's or Burger King, and I hear people ordering burgers all the time without a bun. So
yeah,
no
bun, absolutely. You guys don't have Whole Foods?
I mean, probably, but I don't go there. I go to a store right around the corner from me. I kind of like the local shops here.
I was going to say, I thought they have all the strange zucchini pasta and whatnot, like, already made. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm probably boring you guys. You can ask about push-ups.
Yeah, but we're talking recipes. This is important stuff right here. We got to know this for the campaign. This is serious.
Definitely.
I mean, when you host your party for after the victory and all that, what are you going to be serving? You know, we need to know these kind of things.
It probably won't be keto stuff. Maybe some pizza.
Hey, Patty, I think Krista had a question for you about the homeschooling issue.
Oh, I actually didn't have a particular question. No, I'm a homeschooler.
Okay.
So I was interested when you were talking about the Homeschool Bill of Rights thing. We don't have anything like that in Florida necessarily.
You know, I'm from Florida originally, so Florida's definitely a state that's tougher to homeschool in than Michigan. Michigan's easy peasy.
Yeah, I had to register my son. I registered him with an unschooling. It's technically a private school, but not. It's just in name only. He's registered there, so I don't have to report back to the county, to the state. There's no mandatory testing. We're good.
Well, that's nice, because I know, like, yeah. I used to live in Georgia, and the rules there were...
They're very strict in Georgia.
Yes, and That is one of the reasons I've always loved living in Michigan. One of the reasons why I've stayed here, because it's not just homeschooling. It's a really free state. We have one of the reasons I'm running in this district is because it's a pretty libertarian district. Even though we haven't had a libertarian win, just talking to the voters and just the way Michigan people are, we care about our freedom. This is one of the reasons why homeschooling is so free in our state, you know, which is why one of the reasons we were one of the first states to have, maybe not the first, but have medical marijuana. So, I mean, we have a pretty good state to live in.
Now, do you think the reason you have not had a libertarian win yet? Like, I know I grew up in Connecticut. Libertarianism is not a thing we ever hear about up there. Do you think it's just a matter of getting people more educated?
I personally think it's because there hasn't been a candidate out there talking to voters, running a serious, real campaign. When we have had candidates that actually put their all into it, they've done well. They may not have won, but we've had candidates get a decent vote, and I believe that I'm going to do really well just from I've been out talking to voters and they like me and they've told me they were going to vote for me. So, and I know who I'm running against. This area lines up with libertarian views. You know, we care about smaller government. We care about lower taxes and we care about our freedom. So, I mean, I truly believe that. And I think they just haven't had anybody knock on their door before.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me. Well, cool. Yeah, now, when you had said, though, that you would like to maybe see something like a homeschool bill of rights. So what was there anything that you did not mention that you would like to see put in there?
You know, I would like to talk to the homeschoolers in Michigan mm-hmm. to get their input as I plan this, but the biggest thing I want to have squared away is that you don't have to register for the state and you don't have to follow an education plan that's a public school plan, that your education plan is your own. And that's my biggest concerns, that if people want to have religious education, that they don't have the school saying, well, you can't use our services or our school if you're not following.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very fair enough. Okay. Yeah.
So things like that. So, you know, I, or you have to now that you're in our district, you have to submit an education plan that lines up with our school. You know, things like that.
Okay.
Because even though the state doesn't require it, you know, the school districts start doing it.
Okay.
Right.
So those are my concerns. But I, you know, there's a lot of things I care about right now as far as parental rights in general, not just homeschool rights.
Mm-hmm. So okay. Do we want to do a speed round of questions or no, not really?
I did want to tell you one other thing I'm working on that I care about that's important to this area. Okay, one of the proposals that's out right now is that increase our minimum wage.
Yep.
Which I have an article on my site about why I don't support the minimum wage. I'll spare you guys why, because I'm sure you know why I don't. It doesn't make sense. But some of the reasons why people want to see a minimum wage increases because people can't afford to live in Grand Rapids. Grand Rapids is one of the hottest rental markets and hottest housing markets right now. And it's the middle range homes that are hard to find. When I bought my house here a year ago, and it's still going on, it is like nearly impossible to buy a house in the like 100 to 200,000 range because there's just not enough of them. You go to put an offer on the house and it's gone. If you're not there, I mean, people are putting in multiple offers, like 20 offers on a house, 15, 20 grand over asking price.
Wow. All right.
It's and the rent in Grand Rapids has gone up 20% in the last year. And it's all related to the shortage of houses on the market. And some of that is because of government regulation on land and, you know, development.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And I'm kind of researching some of where the holdups are, because bringing rent down to an affordable level, I think, is an important issue for this area. You know,
that would completely offset any kind of a minimum wage hike or whatever.
I think the biggest thing people, they need to be able to afford to live. It shouldn't be. The problem is, what I read is people find a job here, they get a job here, they get hired here, but then they can't find a place to rent that's in the price range of their salary. So fixing some of those issues is something I'm really researching on. What can we do about this? I do know that our housing market is a big part of the problem, so I'm hoping over the next month or so to start writing a lot of my ideas and plans, because, you know, truthfully, the economy is an important issue. The jobs are growing, but, you know, if you can't afford to live here.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely.
So that's my next project, is why is rent so high and what can we do about it?
I think that's a problem across a whole lot of other states as well.
It is, but if you read on Grand Rapids, we have investors are investing in Grand Rapids real estate because the rental market is so hot here.
It makes sense.
So, I think I've got all. I've told you most of the stuff I.
So thumbs up, thumbs down on the Line 5 pipeline.
Thumbs up or thumbs down? Like, should we shut it down or should we keep it?
Well, they're building it right now, right?
The pipeline is there. The problem is that they're concerned that there's leaks happening and people want it shut down.
Gotcha.
This is actually one thing I was reading on this morning, and I was like really kind of torn on it because the environmental concerns. I care about our lakes, and I don't want to see oil just spilling in there. But I think to take a pipeline I have to tell you the dollar amounts, but millions of dollars were put into and just shut it down doesn't seem like the best way to do it. I'm still like not sure how to make sure to keep it safe, but we are. I know that it is being monitored.
Yeah,
and
of course.
So I don't support shutting it down because the economic effect it would have on our state, as far as heating prices for the gas that's pumped in, as far as our automotive industry. You have to weigh the pros and the cons. But I do think it's something that we should be vested in making sure that it's being, that it's safe, that there isn't going to be a leak, that we're not going to wait like with what happened in Flint, that we're going to make sure it's safe.
Did you guys ask Iron Man for a quote to see if he can just go down there and fix that up or what?
Iron Man?
I don't know how much he charges, but he does... He does welding and whatnot, doesn't he? I thought.
Yeah. So that is something I was reading on. So I mean, there's so many different issues that people care about right now that, you know, trying to keep up with them all. Do my best.
Sounds good to me.
I do want to make sure you guys know about my website, though.
Yeah. I was just getting ready to ask you that. What is your website?
My website is pattyforliberty.com, and I'm really working hard on it. I update it regularly, but I really would like to get more people signing up for email updates. I mean, if you don't live in Michigan, even if you just want to see what I'm up to, and my Facebook page, I also have a group for my Facebook, which I don't have the link to it, but I can post it on my Facebook page later, but this group is just for people that are supporting me and following my campaign. I'm working really hard. I'm going out and talking to voters nearly every day. This is something I feel really passionate about. I'm having a really good response from people I talk to. I think they like seeing a mom running, you know, a regular one of them girl.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not some big business guy that's coming in with all this money. I'm a regular gal that's relatable, and I'm not a nitwit. I care about Michigan, so.
You know, I was going to ask you a couple other really quick questions, if you don't mind. You know, I you mentioned your kids. Tell us a little about your kids.
Well, I have 5 kids. I only have my 2 youngest that are living with me. And some of my personal life, my kids are really supportive of me, but I also am trying to keep my kids out of any media or Facebook attention, you know. But my kids are like really, really 100% behind me. My son, he is 18, and he talks to me, wants to go out with me and talk, do canvassing. Because he really just believes in what I'm doing and is excited for me.
That's great.
You know.
Yeah, come on. You know, it's funny, too. You mentioned...
And my daughter gets me votes all the time. She gives my business card for them, she says.
That's sweet. I wanted to go back to something that we mentioned earlier, but it was a question asked on Facebook, so I wanted to follow back up with it again, though. Is what got you into libertarianism? I mean, what about it?
So you know, I'm going to tell you, the first time I heard about the Libertarian Party was from my website, justmommies.com. Our forums used to be very, very active. Nobody's forums are active like they used to because Facebook's kind of taken over the forum market. But we had a really active debate board, and I remember there was a gal there that was a libertarian. I distinctly remember telling her she was wasting her vote. And I thought she was stupid, and I thought the Libertarian Party, you know, I like the idea of it, but I just thought, you're wasting your vote. Then a few years later, when I started my homeschool group, I met a mom that was a libertarian. And I was invited by her and her husband to attend a run for office class. And that was when I really first started learning about the Libertarian Party. Also, during the 2008 election, you know, I never really had an allegiance to a party. I wasn't, like, registered to vote with either party. I just voted for whoever I thought was best. But I remember reading Hillary's website, and everything on there was free, free, free. And then I read Obama's website, and it was like Hillary's website, but more free, free, and free. And I started to get it. And I was like, you know, this is great, but how are we going to pay for this? And, you know, prior to that, I just thought, it's free. The government's always in debt anyways. What's a little more debt? I didn't really understand. You know, when you start, when you're self-employed, I pay a lot more tax than I did when I had a job, or I pay more taxes, but I'm also more aware, because when your check is, money is just coming out of your check, you don't notice it as much. But when you have to pay your taxes quarterly, you notice. So that was part of it. But really, honestly, my friend that homeschools and her husband inviting me to a run for office class was what really got me into the Libertarian Party. I went to an event, and I just, the more I learned about it, the more it made sense. And that's what I try to share with people. I don't push, when I go out and talk to voters, I don't push the Libertarian Party on them. I talk about issues because I want people to vote for me because I make the most sense, because my issues are issues they care about. But I also do talk to people about the Libertarian Party, but I share it. I don't shove it on anyone. I just give them examples, because I think that people are libertarian. It's just they have to hear it a few times and let it process and kind of get what it means. And you guys know from being in the Libertarian Party that there's this libertarian over here that thinks all this stuff, and someone over here. I mean, you're a pretty diverse group of people, and each person's definition of what it means to be a libertarian is different. So I don't try to tell someone else how to be a libertarian, what a libertarian is. I just share what I think, and
makes sense.
Hopefully they start to get it.
What can other libertarians do to help you, whether they're in the state or not? Is there, like, are you doing any fundraising? I mean, can they contribute money, or
I haven't had any fundraising events yet, but I have had quite a few contributions through my website. There's a donation page, and honestly, we are doing really well at fundraising. And I would love to be able to compete on this, because the last few elections, the Democrats haven't put any money into their candidates. So if a libertarian can come in here with some funding, we can make some impressions. We can get some press releases and news, because I think this particular race is going to be a competitive race, especially compared to historically. So if I could get some help with donations, that would be awesome. You know, one thing I try to tell people when I ask for a donation is a little bit. You know, I know how hard it is to come up with $5 and $10. So every little bit for me, I use it wisely. I print business cards. I try to do as much of it from me going out and talking to people versus me being wasteful. So every little bit that anyone can help me with on the funding part, you know, some other things that I has really helped me is just people sharing when I write a post.
Sure.
If it's something that they connect with, share it, because I've had quite a few people from my area find out about me just from someone sharing a Facebook post.
Awesome. And what's your website again?
One more Patty. Time? PattyForLiberty.com. Easy peasy.
And that's with a Y, right? Patty with a Y?
Yes, Patty with a Y.
Patty with a Y. Well, very good. Awesome. Well, did we want to do like a quick question round, or did you want to wrap up with something, Patty, or what's good for you?
I mostly want to tell people to keep watching my campaign. I just had a really great mom event. And I'm working with a fantastic videographer, so I hope to have a really nice YouTube video that's professional and that I'm really excited to share with you. I have some videos of me talking and photos of me talking to mom voters. Nice. So you can see that I'm really out there, you know, talking to people in the community, that I'm not just sitting on Facebook typing messages. I'm getting out there. I have quite a few supporters in my community that are not from the Libertarian Party. They just like what I have to say, like me, and I think the more I get out there and talk to people, the more chance we have of doing well in this district. So just keep watching me. PattyForLiberty.com and type Patty Maloney on Facebook and like my Facebook page.
Awesome.
That's all I got, guys.
Awesome. Sounds good to me.